recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on it. Thank you to our sponsors for this show. GetShip.com/ADS. ButcherBox.com, promo code ADS. LifeLock, promo code Adam. And TrueCar.com as well.
Susan can make you some stew with some of that ButcherBox stuff. When we wife swap.
Yeah. Yeah, you better bring your own stew. That's all I got to say, man. You better pack yourself. You better get a Dinty Moore can the size of the Hindenburg and fill it with stew. That's all I'm saying. Or just you be prepared for you're going to eat a lot of sushi.
Stewlessness.
You'll be stewless. Mm-hmm. That's right. You will be without stew. There'll be a void of stew. Oh, wait a minute.
What?
I didn't factor in Olga. Oh, is Olga going to be around making stew?
No, you're going to eat Olga.
Oh, okay.
Well, I have Teresa.
No stew for you in that case. All right.
So I saw Olga and your kids at the 10th anniversary show. That was fun.
Yeah, she's nice. She's into it. She listens to the podcast, and I just hear her with her little earbuds on laughing in the kitchen.
That's so interesting.
I know. She's a fan.
And who are we sponsored by today?
I already did that.
Okay.
All right. So we're talking about sociopathy.
Yes, we were. And I was sort of, again, I'm interested in your biology because that's mm-hmm. what I presented to her. And she goes, oh, these are all sociopathic traits. But I'm not convinced that everybody that has these traits are sociopaths, right? Or psychopaths is what she was saying. And really, psychopathy is an inability to understand emotions.
Psychopathy.
Yeah. It's like emotions are things that you just sort of estimate rather than really understand.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you?
Yeah, I'd say that's me.
Really?
Well, I don't understand things that don't make sense.
Well, emotions don't always make sense, right?
That's what I don't understand. I don't understand why people act. Or behave sort of the way they behave,
right.
Or
so
how they
– like Ray. Some of the stuff
right,
Ray does.
Or things Ray does or many people that just don't serve them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like why would you do that or go out of your way? There's a lot of people that burn calories sort of hurting themselves.
Yes.
And they're I don't mean physically, but I'm not talking about doing drugs.
No.
I mean like
bad
going
choices.
Up – at the Christmas party and telling the boss like really what you think of him or
yeah.
whatever it is. Like we're just sort of like, well, why are you screwing your own career up?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I see a lot of that. And
so,
I'm curious why that confuses me.
I would argue that as bad emotional judgment on their part.
Mm-hmm.
And on your part, reasonable confusion because you'd like things to make sense, even if they're emotional.
Yeah, I, for instance, don't understand why people don't lie. Like, you know, if I call somebody who works for me at 10:30 and I go, I need you to get something from the office. I go, oh, I'm on my way. And I go, oh, what time are you supposed to be at work? 10? It's 10:30. Yeah, I overslept. Like, I don't know why they don't go, yeah, I had an issue this morning, sort of a family thing. Anyway, I'm running a little bit late. I'll stay late. Like something like that. They just go, yeah, I'm sleeping. And I'm always like, why don't you just lie? just say I had an issue, or you know, say there's a dental appointment or something. You know, sort of.
Because I think that is a different thing. I think that's a different that to me belies the difference of how you process moral issues. People feel wrong when they lie. You feel wrong when people do something wrong.
I don't. I have trouble lying too. I'm saying. In a world where, you know, I'm saying this is more like you're at a Super Bowl party and you had five beers and a cop pulls you over and goes, you've been drinking? You go, I had one beer, you know,
right.
one Michelob Ultra, but that was hours ago. Like, you know what I mean? That's a kind of a lying. I don't look at those people as liars.
Right.
I look at them as a kind of a little, get myself out of this.
Right.
You know, sort of thing. And I'm confused when that cop pulls you over and goes, you've been drinking? Hell yeah, I've been drinking. You want a cold one? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a weird, like, And not saying the same person would do that.
Although Garrigo said the thing to say is, I just had a stiff drink. Just. So don't measure anything. Because it will not be in steady state yet.
Well, he says don't do the breathalyzer. Yeah. Oh, it kind of depends what you drink. Whatever it is. But the point is this. No, I'm confused that a lot of people are confused.
Yeah.
I'm confused that a lot of answers I hear. I'm confused that a lot of sort of approaches to things feel confusing.
Is confusion a defense against getting angry or anything?
No, I get angry. But
because I know I have that. That's what confusion does for me sometimes. When people don't do things, like if I'm dealing with a resident or something, I say do this, and they don't do it. My first reaction is confusion. Like, but I told you to do that. Do you not follow direction?
I have a thing where I was just this last weekend. I had this big event. A bunch of people that were going to show up at the garage like 9 in the morning and take a whole tour of the garage and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, well, I got to move some cars. We got to clean. We got to do all that stuff that we have to do to get the place was kind of in disarray. I've been moving some stuff around. The thing about the garage or the warehouse or whatever, it doesn't – it's sort of like you get a haircut and you don't get a haircut for 4 months and then you get a haircut. It's totally – you know, you don't get a haircut every 10 days. You just kind of let it – I'll let it go for a little while and then I'll go, all right, everybody, we're all going to meet here Saturday morning. We're going to clean this place up.
Right.
It's funny. All the folks cleaning are dudes. It's kind of a there's literally 7 dudes cleaning all day somehow, so they can't be home to oppress their women. I had to let Lynette out from underneath my steel toe boot for long enough for me to go clean the kitchen at the place, and then came home. But it's weird. It did take stock of the fact there were 7 dudes and everyone was clean. There was no female around, so they have come a long way, baby. I said to Nate, who works at that shop, he said to me on Friday afternoon, can I shoot some stuff here? I'm shooting some wrestling videos, sort of pro bono stuff to help out, blah, blah, blah. He said, can I shoot here tomorrow? And I just said, absolutely not. There, you picked the worst day. We're going to have 7 dudes there. We're going to be assholes and elbows and cleaning and pushing cars and moving ramps and getting cars up onto things and doing that. Yeah. Tomorrow's it's going to be a beehive of activity. I can't have anyone there. He said, oh, okay. Can I shoot at the vacant warehouse that's in between these two warehouses? I said, knock yourself out. Yeah. I said, okay. I was driving into the warehouse and I talked to Matt DeAndrea. And he's like, I just walked in. There's like 10 people back here with kids and they're shooting pool and eating. And I was like, what's that going on? Where's Nate? He's not here. I said, where's Nate? He's shooting at the other warehouse. I called Nate. I was like, hey, get everyone out of there right now. And he was like, what? And I was like, you said I could shoot the other way. I'm staging everyone here, but I'm shooting there. And I was like, don't you know you don't know I'm going to be walking through the door in the morning to... We just had this conversation.
You understand what he heard was, I don't want to screw up your shot with all our activity or have to tiptoe around my shot.
Listen, what he heard is, I have this thing that I want to do.
Yeah.
And you've just jumped in and said no. Yeah. And I still want to do it. So I will just sort of figure it out. I'll deal with it when we deal with it.
And that's confusing to me.
All right.
Confusing when people do stuff like that. And I think it's covering rage.
You're confused. All right. Well, he wanted to shoot something.
But you don't have confusion. Your confusion is not about rage. You just really don't understand how people.
Well, no, I'm confused and rageful, which is like.
I made
myself crystal clear the afternoon before that I was coming here tomorrow in the morning and I didn't want anybody here. And now it's packed with people and I'm pissed. But I'm also confused because I'm not going to get in a fatal accident on the way home tonight. I'm going to just be here in the morning, and you're not going to be here, and there's going to be a bunch of people here. And that's going to It's going to hit my radar because I'm going to physically walk in and run into a bunch of strangers in my warehouse.
So back to reading emotions. Do you mm-hmm. feel that they're difficult to read, or you can pretty accurately read other people's emotions? Or are you estimating what you think you're seeing?
I can read them. I don't know if I care about them as much as most.
How about your feelings?
Can I read my feelings?
Do you care about your feelings?
Yes.
And you have a full range of feelings. You have access to full range of feelings.
Think so.
But you don't care about other people's feelings.
I don't know. Did I say I don't care about other people's feelings?
Just double checking. That's what you said.
Oh. I understand what they're feeling, and I care about their feelings if I deem them justified. But if I don't deem them justified, then I don't care about their feelings.
And how does somebody raise to that level of being justified?
I have to do something that's unreasonable or out of bounds or hurtful, or, you know, I have to say something or do something that is would justify those feelings.
Got it.
So if I do something to justify those feelings, then I recognize your feelings.
And when you think of the range of things that could justify feelings, what kinds of things would you have to do to somebody to justify feelings?
You could ask for something that wasn't really doable, you know, in a time period that it was doable. You could be unrealistic about what you were telling someone to do or asking somebody to do something, you know?
Yeah.
You could disappoint them, or they could disappoint you.
You disappoint them how?
You could, I'm trying to think.
Because disappointment sounds like the way you're describing it is more sort of a task that was underachieved or something, rather than something that you didn't give to another person.
Yeah. My thing is I will know it. The way I'm wired is if I do something to you and you deserve an apology, I will know it. That's sort of the way. Now, you may feel unjustly whatever, or feel that I've done something. But actually, part of it is I don't have, you know, I can easily be ripped off because I would never rip off somebody. I would never injure anyone or do anything intentionally to hurt somebody.
Would you ever manipulate somebody?
To get them to do like what?
Something you wanted.
The only way I would try to manipulate somebody, yeah, I would, but I would basically try to do it through something that benefited them.
To get them to be better, not to benefit you.
Well, if I were, I don't know why this just popped in my mind. It didn't work, but if I was shooting a Paul Newman doc and I was trying to sit down with Tom Cruise and interview him about his days with Paul Newman, I would say I'm close by, you know, I'm in town. I have all these old Newman cars and I have your old fire suit and your old helmet and stuff like that, like stuff that you might be interested in. And you may want to find an hour on a Saturday sometime and come by and see it.
I would argue that's motivating somebody rather than manipulating them.
Oh, I don't manipulate then. No. I attempt to motivate.
I don't experience you as manipulative.
I don't know that I ever at all. What is manipulating somebody?
It's just making people do what you want them to do without concern for whether they should or shouldn't be doing it, essentially. Just for what you need.
I'll tell you what I don't do. I'll tell you something that bothers the bejesus out of me.
After
I don't do. First, I'll tell you about Ship. After 10 years of Loveline, we know people always pick the wrong people on a date. I've told people all the time, yeah, my mom and dad would have been much better off if they didn't pick themselves. They're, look, if you're fine, so be it. But I don't know. say it's a new dating app, ShipIs. Oh. Lets you set up your friends.
Oh.
If you're single, you sign up and you invite your friends to join your crew. If you're not, then you just sign up and invite a single friend, and you want to find who you want to find matches for, then just start looking. Oh, you just, Gary, who did you just speak to today?
I had a call with the team from over there, and they were telling me about all the features. It's pretty cool. It's if you, like, for instance, if you're in a relationship or you're married or something, you can join the service and you get restrictions. So you can't, you know, swipe on anyone or anything like that, but your friends can still add you into the conversation. You can all talk about, you know, what the opening line is going to be or whether or not the other person is a good looking, you know, whatever you want. So it's very interesting the way they're bringing a social network kind of into the dating app world.
Dating, it's more fun if you do it with friends. You download Ship. Thank you, Gary. Download Ship free. GetShipped.com/ADS. GetShipped.com/ADS. I don't like when people use like emotional currency. I don't like when people try to, you know, I never like tell people, you know, I hate it when people do the, hey, could we talk later? It's important. And then they like leave and you go, what? What do we what yeah. happened? What I do? Like, yeah. What's going on? Or whatever that is.
Yeah.
So now I don't manipulate, but I try to get people to do what I want them to do through a sort of reciprocation or enticement or whatever that is.
Yeah.
I tell people I don't want them to do stuff for free or to have that. I tell them I'm going to call you and I'm going to need something from you. And I don't want you to go, no. I want you to go, yes, because you think you're going to be treated fairly.
Yeah, which you always do.
Well, you don't always know what's going on in everyone's minds.
Right. Did we ever go over the trolley experiment, you and I?
I don't know.
Let's do that after some Butcher Box.
Yeah.
100% healthy, grass-fed, finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork directly to your door on a monthly basis. And new wild Alaskan sockeye salmon, sustainably harvested from Bristol Bay, Alaska. Color tells you it's fresh, not factory.
Oh, it's beautiful.
All their meats are beautiful. All products humanely raised. Never given antibiotics or hormones. Taste amazing. They ship anywhere in the U.S., continental United States, no Alaska, Hawaii, sorry. But there's no commitment. You can cancel easily anytime. And as always, ButcherBox provides the special offer. In this case, our new subscribers get $20 off and 2 pounds of free ground beef for life. All you have to do is go to ButcherBox, one word, ButcherBox.com, and enter at checkout the code ADS. Again, it is butcherbox.com at checkout, and you will get $20 off and 2 pounds of ground beef for life. It is butcherbox.com.
Trolley
experiment. So this is a famous ethical moral dilemma, which is there is a trolley rolling down the tracks and 5 people are in it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going – and this is a thought experiment, so assume everything I'm saying is factually true. They're going down the track and they're heading towards imminent death. You know that it's going to be a crash at the end. They're all going to die. You can pull a lever and they will go on a different track that will save them, but they'll run over a guy along the way. So you'll save 5. You'll run over another guy. Will you pull that lever?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I would always pull that lever.
Most people do, but 90% of people do.
And I also – it's convenient perhaps. I've had a lot of people come and go in my life and people agreed with and disagreed with or whatever, but I basically found that all the quality people who sort of think straight and are decent humans and Americans and all that kind of stuff, I've never had a problem with. I don't have a problem with people who don't have problems.
Right.
If you want to be my neighbor, I'll be the best neighbor you ever had because I'll never tell you to turn down your stereo. And if you want to borrow a tool, you can always borrow a tool. We'll never have a problem. I'll never call the cops on you. I'll never yell excuse you if your frisbee goes into my yard. We'll never have a problem. But I have had a lot of problems with a lot of neighbors.
Right.
And I objectively say not because of me. Because they had problems.
Right.
And so you can say, well, now come on, Ace Man. you're doing a lot of externalizing with your neighbors. You've had problems with your neighbors. And it's like, I have. I've had problems with all of them. As I told you before, I would assume they were racist if I was black because of the insane kind of problems I had with them.
Nonsensical problems.
Nonsensical problems. But as you examine those problems, I don't think you would find I had a part in those problems.
So we're going to finish the trolley experiment.
All right.
So now you're standing on a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And a fat guy with a backpack is sitting next to you, standing mm-hmm. next to you. And you like him. You engage with him. You're talking to him. He's a cool dude. He's a graduate student at Caltech.
Mm-hmm.
And the trolley's moving down the tracks. And now the only way you can save these five people is pushing the fat guy off the bridge. But you will say you will kill the fat guy and you will save the five lives if you push him off the bridge.
I'd always push him off the bridge.
Okay. That's rare. That most people can't do that because of an emotional glitch in their system. We all should do it by mathematics, right? Because most people would pull the lever but wouldn't push the fat guy because of proximity and you have a relationship with him and you technically care a little bit about him and you don't care about the five people. Mathematically, we should all do it.
Mm.
But almost nobody does.
Huh. Well, I never thought about it, but I'm just it's always a math thing for me. Like
strictly, that's what I thought. So
I'm reading about this, and it says that a former version of it had the one person on the other side of the tracks was your son.
Well, then there's many, many, many versions of it. What are you gonna do then?
I just thought that was an interesting one phrase.
Yeah, that probably do it, but it does make you think a lot more. It does definitely make you think a lot more. I am probably five people are five people and one person's one person. And unless I really know a lot more about
your son.
Well, I know a lot about him, but I don't know. You'd have to convince me that those five people were all sort of bad people or something. You know, it's too much. You know, it's a ratio that's too much. I don't know. Like maybe if it was 2-1, it'd be different. It's also, you say to me, one stranger on a trolley and your son, and I go, son's living. Now you got two strangers on a trolley. It's like, it's starting to get confusing. But when you go to five, that's a basketball team. Could win the Final Four with those groups. Who knows? Could be a whole team from Duke.
Well, certainly your son would jump in that case.
Yeah, they're basketball players. Look, you know, when they were talking about people get all nuts about Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I'm like, look, they saved a lot of people because we didn't have to go invade Japan and it would have been carnage, you know? And they're like, they was just saying, we're like, so they're dropping bombs on innocent people. It's like, okay, or just fighting it out on the beach and blowing people up and mowing them down like dead. I don't know. A smaller group of people died through dropping the bombs than through invading Japan. So good idea. If there's no third box where nobody ever dies or there no trolley ever comes, that wasn't what was presented.
Right.
People want to make a third box and then put a check in it.
So there's something about this low pulse, no fear, strictly objective morality. Like your moral system is a imagine if that scale was off.
Mm-hmm.
But what
if my scale was off?
If you were some yours is not. But let's say you had your makeup and the scale was off, like bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, then I'd be a sociopath.
Right.
Right. Yeah, my feeling is I'm looking to get 30 cents back on my dollar.
What are you talking about? What?
Just in life.
I'm sorry, I'm not getting it.
If you own warehouses, people will be throwing poker parties at it at night and having events and doing things and then you'll show up and clean it.
Right.
That's kind of how life works if you own a warehouse.
Okay.
This warehouse was filled to the brim with Donnie and his cousin Sandy's cars and parts. And Nobody pays rent. I just pay the mortgage, and then it gets filled with other people's stuff.
Right.
That's sort of life.
Okay.
Now, I just want to live in a world where once a year I get to go, hey, man, we got to clean up the warehouse, and you go clean up the warehouse.
Right.
That's getting a couple nickels back on your dollar.
Right. You're not going for 50 cents. You're going for 30 cents.
It's probably closer to 12 cents or something like that.
But imagine if you wanted a dollar on every dollar or $1.10.
No, but yeah, that doesn't.
What would that? Imagine that person. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Nobody.
You'd be rapacious, right? You'd be.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Wait, now, where does that come from? Do you think? Where does that your good scale your Really, I'd call it a perfect scale versus somebody's scale who's off.
I will tell you in 1 second. Okay. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Full medical records can get up to $1,000 on the dark web. I wonder if we could find that Porter Cable planer on the dark web.
Mm, you're very cabler.
Hmm. Interesting. I bet that thing's still working. You can find the date, place of birth, credit card, social security number, address, emails, all that stuff. They did a survey with medical records and healthcare providers, and they found that just 16% had fully functional cybersecurity programs.
Oh boy.
That is, ask Jim Carolla, that's less than 50%. So many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats your devices can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, they'll have their agents work to fix it, but you won't have a problem. You got LifeLock, right, Drew?
And that's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code ADAM for 10% off your first year. That is promo code ADAM at LifeLock.com for 10% off.
I have a good scale.
Yeah.
Because other people factor themselves in highly in their own scale, and I do not factor myself in.
At all?
Not really.
Right.
I was talking to Matt, the Porcelain Punisher, earlier today. He was talking about what's going on with going to Dallas, and you want to do morning radio, you want to do a radio tour in the car on the way there, whatever it is. And I said, I can't answer that. You have to talk to Max Zapata, and you have to talk to Mike August, who are going with me. You have to find out where they're going to be, if they want to travel with me, if they want to travel from the shop, if they're going to travel alone, if they're going to travel with me from my house, to figure all that stuff out before I can answer this question. So what I'm doing is I'm doing what they would do, or I hope someone would do, if I wasn't on the phone.
Right.
I'm just going, I'm going to answer this globally. I'm not going to do it from my perspective, or I want to travel alone, or I want someone to drive me, or I want to find out what everyone's doing, and then we'll reach a decision. So outrank anybody.
In a weird way, your low self-esteem has helped.
Well, my low self-esteem lets me say to everybody, I'd prefer to do a podcast Sunday morning and not Monday night or something like that. But if you guys don't want to come in Sunday morning, then we can take a vote on it and we'll figure it out. I'll do what everyone wants to do.
So it seems like the one thing that we could identify as sort of missing, for lack of a better way of describing it, is attachment, right? You don't get attached to things or people very much. Your planer, your cable planer. There was that.
I miss that,
you
baby.
You were attached to that.
I miss that, baby.
But in terms of assessing your scale, attachments don't figure.
I have relationships that I do cherish, but I also will let people decide on what that relationship is going to be.
I get that.
You know, so
that's back to your scale, though.
I look forward to talking to you, and I look forward to talking to many, and I talk to them, and then we're talking about, like, David Alan Greer decides he doesn't want to talk to me, then I'm not attached to it.
Right.
You know, he's made a decision that he doesn't want to come on the show anymore.
But don't you miss him?
It's weird, but no. Well,
see, I miss him.
Well, if somebody said, you know, wasn't it funny? Didn't it make you laugh?
Yeah, wasn't
you know,
it
whatever.
Yeah,
the answer is yes, but I don't know. Trying to think how to define miss. I mean,
it's
all done.
I will tell you, my miss is a little bit of grief. Like mm-hmm. I have to, like he's not around, and I would like him to be around. That's grief, and the fun. You know, I miss the fun that we had.
But you have to set this against the backdrop of insanely busy all the time.
You.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which you don't mourn quite as much when you're just literally jumping on to the next thing. Like everything's one big sort of crazy Chinese fire drill, you know?
Yeah.
So you're kind of in two phases. You're either in tired out phase or what's next phase or both.
No, I get it.
And so
it's sort of weirdly, it's essentially, I mean, you can interpret it as, it's the way it worked for me, workaholism getting in the way of having feelings.
Well, it feelings slow down workaholism mm-hmm. because feelings need to stop and reflect and mm-hmm. and it may change your ability
having
to do comedy or to, you know, physically, you know.
Do you like doing comedy? Is that joy or is that just work?
That's just something I...
Do you feel lucky to make money doing that?
Well, that's for tomorrow's show.
All right. Every car has stories. Speaking of telling you stories, but you can't put a price on the stories. But with True Car, you can find out what the car is worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. You go to True Car. You enter your plate number, your car's license plate number. You get your car's details popping up. Answer some questions, and when you're finished, you get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you just can take over to a local True Car certified dealer. Just cash out if that's what you want to do, or lock in a price using True Car. See the scattergram, learn about that car. Lock in a true price, including fees and accessories, for an actual vehicle on a TrueCar certified dealer's lot, and go ahead and trade in. So you get that true cash offer. You trade in using TrueCar to lock in a price for a vehicle. So when you are ready for a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offers not available in all areas.
That is TrueCar, Dr. Drew.
What did you say we're going to do tomorrow?
We'll figure out. Well, we're going to talk to Tom. And
yeah, we'll talk to him.
Follow up on a phone call about him and his wife and rehab.
Yeah.
And then we're going to figure out, let's see, what was I going to?
Attachment? Oh. No.
Yeah.
What did we say?
Well, we're talking about work and being a workaholic.
Oh, yeah.
Comedy.
Is there joy?
About the joy of comedy. Yeah. All right. We'll do that. You can watch me enjoying
comedy. Being joyous. Happy, joyous, and free, Adam.
Happy, joyous, and free doing not Taco Bell material. Well, almost free. I think you can buy it for like $9. Either way, you can get that at chassis2sinhawaii.com, or you can go to iTunes as well. And live shows coming up all over the damn place. Go to amkroll.com/events.
Should be very joyous then. Very
joyous. Drew.
Go to drdrew.com. Got Dr. Drew After Dark. Makes me joyous. You be joyous with me if you come and check it out. It's a YouTube show and a podcast. Check it out at drdrew.com.
And you can check out RJ Bell's pod, Dream Preview, on Podcast One. Until next time, Adam Kroll with Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.